We'll begin. The Lord's Prayer followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The council has the agenda in front of them. Are there any additions or corrections from the council or the county administrator?
You can delete the introductions.
Oh, I never met him.
We will delete introductions of proposed zoning ordinances. Are there any other additions or corrections or deletions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So move you.
A second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended. If there are no questions, I'll call the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
And I vote yes. The approval of the minutes. We have three sets of minutes that have been provided to you in your packet. I'm informed by our county attorney that these can be approved by consensus. I will start with the December 9th minutes. Are there any corrections, additions, or deletions to the December 9th minutes? If not, I will consider them approved. Are there any additions, corrections, or deletions to the December 16th minutes? If not, I will consider them approved. Are there any additions, corrections, or deletions to the January 27th, 2009 minutes? If not, I'll consider those minutes approved. Reading of the correspondence.
I don't have any correspondence this morning.
Do any of the council members have any correspondence they'd like to read? If not, we'll go on to the county administrator's report.
Thank you. Good morning. The first item is an online suggestion box proposal. The county information systems department has developed on the county's website an online suggestion box, and here this is the home page that comes up on our website. And as you can see, and this is Eddie Sparpaglione, our information systems director, who has worked on this, there's a button to access it. The intent of this was to provide, original intent is to provide suggestions to reduce the budget. And we have expanded it to allow it to be used for other comments as well as budget-related comments. Our public information officer, Chip Guy, will review the suggestions and forward them to the proper departments. And our county budget director, Kathy Roth, will receive those that are budget-related for review. So as you can see, there is... These can be submitted anonymously, or they can be submitted, you know, with a name and email replies, so we can reply to the individual. We would like to encourage anyone to use this, whether it's employees or the public or anyone, to give us any ideas they may have, especially regarding to more efficiently provide our services. And then they'll get a, after they submit it, they get a automatic thank you on the email. So,
Dave, I think I forwarded one to you that I received in the mail about the recorder of deeds office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
Good.
Is there
good.
Any reward? Do you have like a contest of the best suggestion? Can somebody win something?
Well, that's we didn't set it up that way. That
oh, just,
is
a,
an
just
idea.
A question. Yeah, I'm new here, you know. So
you don't have to pay your federal taxes.
Yeah, right. Like competition.
I think it could offer the opportunity to invite someone into council to thank them publicly if we do have a good idea.
Reward.
Dave, there is a clearinghouse, you say, and it's going to be who?
Mr. Chip Guy, our public information officer.
And Chip, will you take frivolous, crazy ones and just discard them, or are you going to package all of them? I mean, do you?
Mr. Cole, I will do the best I can to communicate each one to move it to the appropriate.
No, I mean, if they have.
Kind of what I do now. I mean, if I get often, I'm sorry. Chip Guy, public information officer. Often I'll receive requests from the citizenry, questions about where they go with paying their taxes,
right,
even things that are not within our jurisdiction, and I'll move them into the right direction. So I don't really see this being any different.
But I'm just talking about some that could be possibly, once you open up something like this, you can do, and the anonymous ones that are coming in that are just taking pot shots at different departments or different employees. Will those be forwarded, or will you weed them out and have like a special bin for ones that don't merit? I mean, there ought to be some kind of a bar that they'd have to meet, you know, of some standards.
I don't think so.
To pass them on.
If I get to a point where I have a question, I think I would forward it to Mr. Baker or involve Mr. Godwin. You know, administratively, we would determine what the best course of action would be as far as moving along.
I'd hate to think, as a member of the public, that it's being filtered. And, you know, I would like them to come on to the county council. I want to see what they are.
Mr. Vincent, have you any thoughts about that?
Yeah. I'd prefer them to go to Mr. Baker and let him work through these things and come back to us with any recommendations.
We will see how it goes under your vision. And if we have to make adjustments in the near future, we will. Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie.
You're interfering with the public's right.
Not interfering with anything.
Sure.
The next item is voluntary furlough policy. And with us today, we have Mr. Dennis Cordry, our personnel director. And he has. He has worked on this. This was discussed briefly at our several weeks ago when we made the proposals regarding the various budget reductions, and this was part of it. This proposed policy would be designed with a primary goal to save salary costs, but to continue county services. It is designed as a voluntary leave without pay policy with a maximum of 5 days per year, and it must be approved by the department head for that particular employee. Benefits would remain in place for the employee. This wouldn't affect group hospital or pension calculations or anything like that. It would be processed by the personnel department through the leave forms. Right now we have leave forms for sick and vacation time if you want to take off. This would be another line on there that, again, has to be approved by the department head. It could be for less than 1 day, perhaps a half a day or even a few hours.
David, I'm sorry. I was being briefed by my counterpart here, and I missed what you were even talking about. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
And I don't want to waste the public's time, but please give me the topic first.
Sure. This is voluntary furlough policy for county employees.
Okay, I understand now. Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Again, a maximum of 5 days per year, must be approved by the department head. Benefits would remain the same for the employees. It doesn't affect their benefits. It could be less than 1 day. It could be for a few hours. Our goal was to try to save money, so that's what we tried to consider. Personnel department will track and process the payroll deductions. Employees on furlough will not be paid, or other employees in the office will not be paid for overtime hours to make up for work not done during the furlough. So we have to be careful, and that we're going to talk to our department heads about that, so that if someone's off, that doesn't mean we have to bring someone else in for extra work or overtime. Again, the purpose is to save money. We've estimated, we think conservatively, that this will save us roughly $22,000 per year. And I don't know if Mr. Cordry would like to make any comments about this, or...
Morning. As Dave said, the furlough policy will be added to the sick and vacation form. It's online, available to the employees. Maybe taken in increments no less than an hour, just much like the sick and vacation is now. It'll also be added to e-time so that my staff can track it during a rolling 12-month period, so we don't allow more than 5 days.
Added to what?
Pardon me?
Added to what?
To e-time. That's the program that my department uses to track sick and vacation now. And this will also be added to that so they can track the furlough policy.
I'm from small business, so help me understand this big business, how it works. You say you're going to add it to sick and vacation time.
No, we're going to add it to the form that the employees use now for sick and vacation.
Add it to the form?
To the form.
In other words, that's just a mechanism,
right,
whereby they...
We have sick, they check sick. If they were taking vacation, they check vacation. If they check furlough, we know to deduct it from the pay.
I have to confess something here. I'm new, and when those cuts were proposed, I really did not realize that we were talking about cuts to be implemented that day. I really thought when it said proposed that they were going to be considered. And I'll have to admit that I do not support any kind of voluntary furlough. I believe these people are paid too little, and I certainly don't want to cut back on their health plan benefits, and I would make my case loud and clear right now. I apologize that I voted for it. I only saw it 15 minutes before the meeting, as you know. And I hope that in the future this does not happen again.
Dennis, it's one of my understandings that employees, once they've gone through their vacation time, you know, they may want additional time off.
Exactly.
And this policy could give them that opportunity without reflecting badly on their record.
Correct.
Or
yes,
exceeding their time off. So this is kind of a sign to the county employees that you may have more time off, up to additional 5 days. You won't be paid for it.
That's correct.
But it won't, you know, be a stain on your record that you
correct.
Just don't come to work.
Right, and that would be at the discretion of the department head, depending on the workload.
So they could add it to a vacation, they yes. put the tack on. Is, when you have a salary employee, we have a breakdown, I guess, of the hourly wage, if they
yes,
wanted to furlough
yes.
an hour?
Yes.
Like Sam today is being furloughed. How are we deducting from Sam today?
You say that it's added to vacation?
It's not added to vacation, but it can be taken in addition to vacation.
An employee basically would not receive pay
yeah.
if they applied for
and they could
take
just
a
have
day
a longer
off,
week
they,
and some's paid and some's not.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
It would be
right.
like
longer,
a vacation except they're not going to be paid for
right.
it.
Right. Gotcha.
And our current policy is the vacation days are paid.
Yes.
Yes.
These would be additional, in essence, vacation days unpaid, up to
unpaid.
Five. I think it would be something, you know, generally embraced by the county's employees if they were in a position they needed.
If they were in a position to do that, yes.
Our recorder of deeds offered, I believe, 3 days per the original proposal. You've increased it to 5 days, I believe.
Well, the five is the maximum. We don't want to provide benefits to employees who are not here, basically.
Right.
Or, you know, if they decide, well, I'm going to take a month off for voluntary furlough, maybe we need to look at, we don't want to, you know, or longer period
do,
of time, we
how
don't want to be paying
that?
Benefits
you can't
for
you can't
them.
Do it for 5 days.
So that's why we
right.
thought we got to put a maximum on it. We estimated that we may have up to 50 employees volunteer to do this for maybe an average of 3 days, and that's what that's where the 3 days came from.
And that's where you get the $20,000 a year savings?
Yeah.
15.
I have informed the county administrator and
15,
the finance
15.
Director that I would 15, be joining 15. The recorder of deeds and offering 3 days pay 15. As well.
Okay.
Maybe 15 will take it. I think the most attractive part about it will be that they can, if they have vacation time, they can add a couple days
right.
and make, you know, get it a longer vacation time around Christmas or something. How about if we are, if everybody wanted to do it
yeah.
I mean, do we have a limit where the department heads can say, wait, you know, first come, first serve type of thing? Or
it's strictly at the discretion of the department head, depending on the workload of the department.
We're gonna rely on a department head to make sure he didn't come up short. Of course, he may know that the day after Christmas or something that could be a work day, he's not going to have a big workload anyway. Right. He could get by with, okay, so.
So we're talking about not showing up for work, right? And not being paid for that, those days that you're out.
Right, but it would be planned ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it, like right now, somebody can't call up and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to furlough today.
It's also a decrease in the services to the people. We could get crazy with it and end up with part-time workers, like you say. So we have to put a limit on it.
Right, and we want the department head to make that decision. So, for instance, if Bonnie Smith is data processing director, if she had an employee come and ask for 5 days off without pay through this, then she has to make a decision that, you know, well, I've got to get the tax bills out next week or whatever. I can't afford to do that. Or, you know, so she's just going to tell them no.
Does she have to? What if the employee wants to take 3 days and department head feels that they can't do without that person?
In that example, she would tell them no.
Mm-hmm.
She'd say, no, you can't, we can't afford it.
There's no appeal process like to you or anything
like
that?
Well, typically they would appeal it to me if they wanted to really push it, but I don't think they would, you know.
Any other thoughts, Mr. Vincent?
Yeah, I got a couple, I guess. I understood when dealt this in a couple weeks ago, we passed a motion and we accepted your recommendations. That was pretty, I thought up front. I mean, I think it's a good thing for the employee.
So.
When we pass a motion, that deals with it. You know, you don't go back and whatever. I mean,
well, I have a right to speak to this.
Just a minute, Ms. Deaver.
I wasn't questioning anybody's right to speak. I was simply saying we pass a motion. A motion is passed. I think it's a good thing for the employee who wants to take an extra time, doesn't have vacation left to do that with or something. I think there's nothing wrong with that. It is a voluntary policy.
Yes.
Right. And we are looking at trying to find ways to save money. If it benefits the employee and also saves money, it's a good thing. And I would agree with the president. I mean, I certainly would be doing that because I would not ask him to do something I wouldn't do myself. So, but I think it's a good idea. Thank you.
You know, it's not a donation of 3 days' pay from your salary. It is being absent from the job for 3 days without salary. Is that correct?
Yes.
Which is a big difference. So when John Brady donates 3 days, that means what? That he won't be in
well,
for?
Well, as an elected official, I'm not sure.
So what does it mean?
That was symbolism.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
It would be a reduction in his pay for 3 days.
Okay.
Pay.
One time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts, Mr. Cordray?
No.
I appreciate you working on this.
Thank you.
Do we need to officially endorse this, or has it already been taken care of through the motion 2 weeks ago?
It was part of that
okay. package, so I don't
know. I'm just letting you know I'm not giving it.
Okay. On the
I'll
thank you, Mr. Corder. Continue, Mr. Baker.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank thanks. Next item is the administrator's report, and we have several items here. First is the agriculture farm lease update. As per the attached invitation to bid, sealed bids for an agriculture lease for the county's Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility near Long Neck will be opened on February 9th. As noted, we are requesting proposals for the farming of county-owned agricultural fields with approximately 568 tillable acres. Bid documents are available from Ms. Sharon Smith in the engineering department at 855-7718. Ms. Jewel Gibbons, project engineer, is available to answer questions, and her number is there also. So we hope to encourage.
Dave, it'll be advertised like we do other things in the papers?
Yes, it has been advertised, yes.
Okay.
Well, how can you farm that land with full of puddles and it's soaked with water?
Well, part of it is we have spray irrigation on part of it, and then part of it is just farmland without spray irrigation.
So that's all, okay, all together.
Yes, the farmers.
So some of it can be farmed.
It's been farmed.
Yeah, it's been.
Nothing would go through that land at this time.
The previous five-year lease, I believe, expired December 31st, and we're renewing the lease with a bid process. And you're right, there are many areas out there that can't be farmed. It is a challenge for a farmer to farm around those areas, and that, I'm sure, will be reflected in the bids. They, in the past, have been substantially less than what the market value mm-hmm. of farmland
okay.
was.
Just asking.
Mm-hmm. We are, and as we are expanding the spray area to hopefully, which will help correct that problem.
So.
Employee blood pressure checks, as per the attached, the county paramedic department will be providing blood pressure checks for employees in this building from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. twice per month, from noon to 1 at South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility. This is an outcome of the county health fair, where a number of county employees were observed to have high blood pressure readings. As noted, there are no additional costs with the program to the county, since they will be conducted using on-duty medics when available, supported by paramedic administrators. Beneficial acceptance. The engineering department granted beneficial acceptance to the Captain's Place Agreement 427 on January 20th. Developer is Joe Maggio, and the project is located southwest of Assawoman Canal and Cedar Neck Road in the Ocean View Sewer District, consisting of four single-family lots. And that's it.
Are there any questions for the county administrator? I would make one observation regarding the online suggestion box issue. We all, as council members, have email addresses accessible through the county website. So any individual citizen can email us directly and unfiltered any of their thoughts, criticisms, or comments.
Mr. President, I've got a question. I would just like to know more about this Joe Maggio project. I'm not familiar with it, and I want to know what it is. Not right now, but at a later time, please.
Okay, thank you.
We'll follow up with you on.
Okay.
We'll provide that for you.
The next item is our Director of Finance, Susan Webb.
Thank you. Last week, we talked about the private activity volume cap reallocation back to the state, and I provided more information in the packet this week, so hopefully we can make a decision and I can do a motion. But basically, the state has asked us to reallocate our portion of the private activity volume cap that's unused back to them so that they may use it for the Delaware State Housing Authority for single-family mortgage programs. We typically do this every year when we have unused portion of the private activity volume cap so that they could use it. And I do have a copy of the handout, which gave some definitions in your packet, if anyone would need to read over that again, or if there were any questions. And like I said, I do get calls from time to time from our bond attorney, just giving me a heads up or seeing what the climate's like. Right now, it's not very good for this kind of activity, as the more sophisticated investors that would invest in some of this are holding on to their money, and then there's a problem with the credit market. But this is sort of a housekeeping measure for this reallocation.
And this money is only available for specific use. Is that correct? Manufacturing,
yes.
I believe.
Yes,
that's
so
exactly
federal
correct.
Federal tax law requires it can only be used for very specific purposes.
We will be meeting with our congressional delegation in a week or so. Is it possible that we would consider asking them to work to expand the opportunity so it's not so narrow?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's a good idea to help.
Yeah, I do too.
Encourage new business and provide maybe help with the credit situation.
And Mr. President,
Ms.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm sure this is coordinated with our economic development office and our plans for encouraging development in the county and business in the county. Okay.
Yes.
Fine.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have a motion if anyone's ready.
Please.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves reassigning its 2008 private activity volume cap of $26,210,000 back to the state of Delaware.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the motion read by our finance director. Are there any further comments?
Mm-mm.
If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Godwin.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. This morning we have one wastewater agreement for your consideration. It is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 580. The developer in this case is Mr. Durwood Bennett of Bethany Beach, and the location is County Road 84, that's Byard Road. It is part of the Byard planning area. There will be 10-lot subdivision, a small project on road number 84. There are no connection charges. We do have approvals from both our engineering department and DENREC. We're expecting 15 days of construction with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $8,441.25.
And that money comes to the county?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And we're also, there's a proposed construction cost of $56,275. This is a rather small project.
Is it a dry sewer lines they're putting in? Are they putting anything in the ground?
I'm not sure of the details of that.
But I see zero connection charges.
I
believe it is. Byard area.
Yeah.
It's Byard area, so we do not, that's in the planning area, but it's not,
there's
we don't
not
have
a
sewer service there now.
I know, but are we requiring, because it is proposed, are we requiring, you know, we used
yes.
to do in North Bethany, dry lines?
Yes.
They are going to have some, the lines will be in?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Are there any other questions? Could you read the motion?
Yes, sir. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04.
I have a question. I'm sorry.
We will be able to discuss this prior to the vote.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
Excuse me.
Agreement number 580, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and the Meadows at Byard LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Meadows at Byard, located in the Byard planning area.
Okay. Could I get a motion so that we could have further discussion?
No move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, I'll open the floor for further discussion.
No, just help me understand. This is a county sewer, addition to the county sewer line. Is that for the outfall sewer plant?
I'm not sure that, David.
This is in the Byard planning area,
mm-hmm.
so it's
our
an area that
area,
we plan
what you're saying.
For sewer in the future. Mm-hmm. And when with new development in a planning area like that, mm-hmm. we ask that the developer provide a dry sewer so that when the districts are expanded to include it, that they can hook up to our system, and it's you don't have to go back through a development and put sewer lines in.
Okay, but it will feed into South Coastal plant?
Yes, this
someday.
One would, yes. Someday.
Someday.
Yes.
Okay, it's what, all right, fine, that's all I need to know.
And it substantially reduces the cost of those people in the Meadows because the lines are in and they don't have to come back.
They pay a lower front footage
much
rate
lower, yes.
because they would only play the transmission portion of the front footage rate.
But the developer has absorbed that, is what you're saying?
Yes, that's
okay.
The developer has paid for,
mm-hmm.
or will pay for the collection lines in that development.
Yeah, that's good to me.
Mm-hmm.
We have a motion and a second to approve the motion read by our Deputy County Administrator, Hal Godwin. Is there any further discussion? If not, I'll call the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote
yes.
Thank you, Hal. Grant request. And prior to going into the specifics, Susie, I'm going to kind of catch you off guard here. Can you explain the process a little bit about these grants? Who qualifies?
The community grants?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Grants have evolved into this, I guess I should say. It used to be Councilmatic grants, but we had a bunch of different categories. So in this year's budget, we combined all the council persons' grant into one. So they each got a $61,000 allocation for their grants. And these grants typically are used in your districts as you receive requests. They're placed on the agenda as you receive letter of request. I analyze the letters to make sure that they are within the specifics of the county as far as what we grant to. For instance, a nonprofit, not a religious organization that's not using the money for anyone in the county. I just read it over to see, I look back to see when we last paid. I pull up the history to see if, look, they just got one last month. Do we really want to give them another one? But ultimately, it's up to the council person to give back these funds to the community. Sometimes two council persons or all of them might piggyback on the same grant if it's a countywide organization, such as the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts, or the Boys and Girls Club, where the service is actually out of your boundary lines of your councilmatic districts. Or it could be very specific to a town, Little League in your town. We've always felt that the council person that serves their district knows their organizations or nonprofits, knows the community, have ties to the community as far as those that are nonprofit organizations that sometimes struggle with getting funding. And they know what you know, how they operate in the community, what they give back to the citizens. And that's basically, I think, the theory, if Dave can add anything, because councilmatic grants have been going on as long as I know. We had different categories like youth activity that concentrated on youth sports. Then we had community grants, which concentrated maybe on towns that wanted to do some things. And then we had the councilmatic, was really broad. And so we combined it all to your one community grant.
I've got a question. Is there any procedure that we could access about how they're delivered, by whom, and how soon they have to be delivered?
That's always been a personal decision with the council person for that grant. They've either liked to do it in person. Sometimes there's a special event, like at a library, there might be a kickoff event, and they would like to do that for, you know, public and in person. Sometimes they're mailed. That has come under whatever the choice is of the council person.
And we still give
because it is so specific to their localities, to the boundaries.
And how is it that we would still give to Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts?
How is it? They would request a letter to a individual person or to the council in general, and then that person would decide to put it on the agenda.
They would submit a letter.
They would submit a letter. Now, they have local troops. You know what I mean? Got local Girl Scout troops. There's a Chesapeake troop
organization open to everyone?
Yes, but you can have like a troop in your councilmatic boundaries.
Overall, is it open to everyone?
Yes.
Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts?
The organization itself?
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know.
There has been a tradition that the council member who receives that request as an elected official accountable to the people uses some of their own discretion in deciding the best way to allocate those funds. If any council member objects to an allocation, they're offered the opportunity to do so prior to the vote.
Or they could, sometimes I've even backed out on some of the countywide issues, for instance, because I've got a similar activity in my, you know, area, which isn't a countywide participation. Anyway, so I have backed out, and the council has said, well, you know, Cole's out, and the other four do it, or the other three, or whatever. So you can do any kind of mix and matching, but basically to get to the end result. But if you're questioning whether you deem the Boy Scouts to be
I'm a former Girl Scout. Let's clear the record here.
I'm just saying, if Boy Scouts or some as an organization...
Are they open to... I have...
If they discriminate this or that or whatever...
Yeah.
I don't know. We have not got into that level of scrutiny on these organizations. All I know is it's been in existence a long time. It does a lot of good. And does it merit my support? That's it. And if it merits the rest of you can vote for it. If you don't, if it doesn't merit and meets your high standards or your standards, whatever they may
be. Well, it's my constituents.
Well, constituents
are objecting right now.
Yeah, but you got a lot of constituents. And all I can tell you is you get elected to show good judgment in a lot of these issues. You can't vote the way your constituents want you to because there's so variety of people.
You're talking about the law.
There's no law. Show me the law.
Well, we'll see.
I got a question there, David.
Yes.
I got a couple of issues. In other words, we probably don't have anything in writing about this policy, do we, really? It's all kind of like a historical perspective on this thing. That kind of concerns me. I think we ought to maybe get something in writing so that we know what standards are and what, you know, that they meet certain things.
The other thing, in the past, I can remember we had X amount of dollars for sports. Was it $8,000, I think, or something like that?
Six, wasn't it?
Whatever it was. Then we had $10,000, I think it was county council grants.
Councilmatic
grants. And then we had then that new category of community reinvestment. Now when we lump them all together, there's nobody watching to say, in other words, you may excessively give to, in other words, when we devised the community reinvestment, it was a large chunk of money because they were for bigger projects, mm-hmm. town park or whatever. We now nobody's checking on if we give too much to, say, sports and not enough to the community reinvestment. In other words, do we lack balance in doing it this way by lumping it all together, where in the past we did have, we knew that Councilmatic grants, helping a student do something or helping whatever,
right,
were so much money than community reinvestment. Like if I wanted to help the town. Anyway, we've lost that tracking and guidelines, or say any barriers that would let us, you know, exceed certain areas.
I think so, Susie.
Is that good or bad? I don't know. Is there any other thoughts on that?
The problem was in tracking it from an accounting standpoint.
Right.
We were, you know, and then trying to determine, is this a youth activity grant or is this a community improvement grant or council matter?
I understand.
And we just kind of felt, well, we were just...
They're not always mutually
sort of playing
exclusive.
Shell games with it, what goes where. But if you feel that we've lost some of the restrictions to the grants.
Yeah, the community reinvestment helps a broader number of people typically, where sometimes our councilmatic grants can be zeroed in on one individual or one little small group.
Right.
And I really think as a councilman that we need to have an emphasis on benefiting the most people with town and county tax dollars every time we do something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if by not having any anything to stop us from exceeding a certain number of, like, say all of a sudden somebody gives $15,000 or $20,000 to the softball leagues and this league and that league. And the other question was churches. You know, we've in the past we've given to church baseball and church leagues and church functions when they had the turkey, the Christmas thing and the feeding the thing. So
Thanksgiving.
Did somebody say
churches
something?
If they provided a meal for any county resident or like the AIDS fair.
As a new person, I would like to see some
written policy.
Procedure.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can develop that.
Maybe a good place to start would be to have Susan reduced to writing the standard she's been using, and that would give you a place
to start. I think we ought to discuss a little bit.
We can add to it if you want it
a lot
a
of money
more strict or a little more variety going back to categories. I don't know that they...
And Jim, maybe you could give us some legalese on... Joan alluded to certain organizations are politically correct and
Yeah, I'm getting comments from people about it.
If I could bring this around, let us ask, if it pleases Mr. Cole, the county administrator and staff, along with Mr. Griffin, to develop a memo that outlines our procedures. And at a point in time in the near future, we'll put it on the agenda for possible approval.
But to follow up, Jim, I would like to have an opinion of yours. Is giving to a church okay? Is giving to the Boy Scouts okay? Is giving to, you know, whatever, okay? And if you feel that it's okay, but to this point, tell us that. Because, you know, I don't, in our community, I like to, like I said, get the money back into the community. And I don't mind giving it to churches. I don't mind giving it to Boy Scouts. None of that bothers me, personally. And my constituents can scream and, you know, bloody murder, but the Boy Scouts service a lot of people, and we're another organization similar to
Mr.
that.
Mr. Griffin?
Another thing that I'm interested in the prioritizing some of these, because, for instance, the Cat Society, I'm a cat lover, that's very important, but I'm not sure how many people that serves as opposed to, say, giving to a larger organization. I'm wondering if they are prioritized. In any way,
they're individualized. I would say if in your councilmatic boundaries, you're a cat person and they've reached out to you. No, seriously, because we had a.
But I don't know how many people that really serves.
And they reach out to you, and that becomes, you know, yes, but you know that's your own individual, and that was the whole point of the councilmatic being able to. to reach back to the people in your community, in your district?
Well, one check was just delivered. It was cut December 8th, and it was just delivered in my district. So that's why I was asking about the timing and who delivers
what. They were prepared on time and given to that appropriate council person, and that when that leaves here, you know, there hasn't been a consistent policy of delivery because everyone has been individualized again. It's how
they should probably be mailed with a cover letter. And then you can, if you want to do a photo op because whatever reason, you could.
Then just let me know otherwise.
You just go fake a check like you're doing, you're passing a check or something, or where you just show up shaking somebody's hand. But I've done that many times. But I typically just, Joan, just have mail it out with a cover letter saying, here, I was glad to help. And then sometimes they call up and say, you know, we're going to, like, we'd like to honor you for doing it. You got that option.
Okay.
Then showed up.
We'll move on before we do. Mr. Vincent, have
you
any thoughts?
Wait. One more.
Let's see if Mr. Vincent has
any
thoughts.
No, let George talk.
Okay.
Okay. One more issue is we've also had concerns in the past, David, about, and we've, in the past, so anyway, for the new people, when funds go outside the county, when funds go outside the state, we ought to probably have a make sure it's a super majority. Because there are times we gave to, I don't know, some of these organizations, and God knows where our money went, maybe where we could have helped. Anyway, I question when I send my tax dollars that's supposed to go to community reinvestment to somebody else's community. So could we address that issue also, maybe some guidelines about money leaving the county or the state?
Issues that deviate from the traditional policy, I believe, should be put as options in your memo that the council can vote on publicly. Okay. But regarding the memo, it should outline what has traditionally been the case using the criteria that Susie has outlined with the advice of our legal department with respect to the legality and reasoning behind funding certain organizations that may have come in question in the past. Does that cover it, Mr. Cole?
Good enough, yeah.
Good job.
We ought to get something done.
All right. Ms. Webb, why don't we continue?
Okay, grant requests. Cape Henelope Food Basket.
That's the one. It was just delivered last week.
It was. It is not the same letter. I researched it. It's a month later. It was just delivered. Whether it crossed in the mail,
it was personally delivered.
The check, you mean?
By the councilman.
Yes.
By the previous councilman.
They received $500 December as a councilmatic grant, but they also received $500 human service grant in December. So I don't know if Mr. Cole, you want to fund them today or not.
The Cape Henelope? Was it,
basket.
You said who was the previous?
It was Mr. Rogers had given him a grant in December.
Okay, are they trying to get?
And they got a human service grant in December.
Oh, okay.
So this was put on the agenda.
Yeah, I'll give him another $5,000.
$5,000?
No, I'm sorry, $500. They've already gotten $500 from.
They've gotten $1,000 in the last month. Yes.
Okay, and they're asking for. We're asking.
You need help?
I'll do $1,000. It's a tough time, Judge.
Yeah.
Make it $1,000.
Can I get a second to that motion?
Thank you.
Yes.
Want that back?
I have a motion and a second to provide the Cape Henelope Food Basket Incorporated $1,000 from Mr. Cole's account. Is there any further discussion on that issue? If not, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Make a motion, we go into executive session for?
Oh, I actually have additional business brought before council.
Okay, I'm sorry.
If I could, Chip, have you the sign-in sheet? Is there anyone on the sign-up sheet? No? Okay, Mr. Cole, I'll entertain your motion.
Make a motion, we go into executive session for personnel, land acquisition, and pending potential litigation. Pretty much covers everything.
I have a motion and a second to go into executive session. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you.